everybody. Hope you can hear me. Let's turn to Job chapter 1, verse 6 through 11. Job chapter 1, verse 6 through 11. Says this, verse 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? Satan answered the Lord and said, from roaming about on the earth and walking around on it. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, for there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. Then Satan answered the Lord, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a fence around him? Have you not made a fence around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But reach out with your hand now and touch all that he has. He will certainly curse you to your face, and his house and all that he has on Okay, so Satan says, basically Satan says, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a fence around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But reach out with your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will certainly curse you to your face. Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we can come into your presence and have this time to get into your word and hear your voice and also pray for one another. We give this time to you. And I give myself to you to speak your message to the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. I know we just went through the book of Job with Pastor Sam, but Job is in my just daily reading schedule right now. So I just wanted to speak from it as I've been meditating on it a little bit. Another name that is given to Satan is Accuser of the Brethren. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, Satan is called Accuser of the Brethren. And actually, we can see that in this passage. The way I look at this passage is when all the sons of God, which probably is referring to angels, is coming to present themselves before the Lord. Satan also comes. Satan is a fallen angel, right? So he comes also. And God asks Satan, hey, where do you come from? You can see it. I this is a side point, but I think it's interesting. Satan is so vague about his answer. He doesn't tell God, oh, I was here and I came. He says, oh, I was just roaming about the earth, walking around on it, which doesn't really say much about where he was. But he comes to God, and God says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? The way I look at it is I just feel like God just wants to brag about one of his children. You know, he's so proud of Job. You know, obviously God sees everything. God sees everybody. God sees all that is going on. And he sees this one particular son. His name is Job. And he's got such a good heart. And he, you know, the scripture says he's a blameless man. You know, he seeks to honor God, fear God, and all that he does. And so God just wants to say, man, look at this. Look at this child of mine, Job. You know, have you seen him? He is so wonderful. He is so great. I love him so much. I want to pause there because sometimes I wonder if this is what God does with all of us. You know, with all of you. Maybe this is the heart of God, that God just wants to boast and brag about his children. I was meditating on this passage, and I was looking at my own children, and you know, I could just imagine it, you know, like, you know, with my wife all the time, if we one of us stayed home and then the other person was at work, and then we come together, we often talk about our children, sometimes in negative ways, but also sometimes in the positive ways. You say, wow, you should have seen what Joel did today, or you should have seen what Owen did today, and they did this and that, and this and that, and it was so wonderful, and we celebrated together. And if one of our friends, you know, close friends that know our kids, you know, we happen to be with them, then we might do the same. We might say, wow, you know, 2 days ago, this is what they did. And if we took a photo or a video, we may show it to them. I just feel like this is maybe what God is doing. Like, I'm so proud of my son, Job. So, you know, not, you know, sometimes people read it like God was setting up Job to receive this persecution from the devil. But I don't know if that's necessarily the case. Maybe God was just so proud of his son, and he's just like, man, look, I just love him so much. Look, this guy, look, I'm so proud of him. He's blameless and upright. He fears God. He turns away from evil. You know, obviously God knows the worst about us, right? We often say that before God, we can't hide anything. He shines his light on the deepest, darkest places of our hearts. We often want to hide. Most of us probably want to hide many, many things about who we are. That's why there's the concept of, and if people knew me for who I really was, nobody would be my friend. They would see how dark and evil I am. But the flip side is also true. God knows the best about us. Right? Things that nobody knows about you and me. Things that only you do before the eyes of God. Only the times you fast, you pray, and you do something nobody knows. And the heart, the intention that you have to love God or to serve God or to love other people, to serve other people. You know, God knows the worst, but he also knows the best of us. So in some ways, he is best equipped to boast about us, to feel proud of us, because he is the only one that really, really knows who we truly are. You know, the essence of prophetic ministry is this, right? Is to be able to see the other person as God sees them. It's easy. It's easy, as we learn at SP, it's easy to tear somebody down. It's easy. It doesn't take a prophetic insight to see somebody and say, man, this person has issues. She's like this, he's like that, and he has this issue, and she has this brokenness, and oh, I see it again and again. It's that doesn't take a prophetic insight to say, well, I think you're messed up. It takes prophetic insight to see the person beyond or see through all of that and to see how, you know, who that person is as God sees them, as God has created them to be, and to be able to speak that truth, speak that value, that insight, that love, that significance into that person. That is prophetic ministry, right? Basically, to be able to see that person through the eyes of God. And God sees everything about that person, so he's able to speak who he really is beyond somebody's brokenness. You know, if God were to speak about his children to anybody, you know, what would he highlight? If God the Father, the loving Father, is going to speak about one of his children in front of other people, he probably would highlight the good stuff. You know, he probably would say, man, have you seen my servant Wesley? He's going to lead worship later on. You know, have you seen my servant Wesley? Yeah, everybody knows that he's really good at cello and he's getting really good at piano and worship leading and all of that. But what you don't know is, you know, the heart of worship that he has in the secret place. Now, I don't know this about Wesley. I'm just making this up, but maybe this is true. You know, what if God is saying, yeah, you guys all know the stuff that everybody else sees, but I see the stuff that you don't see. I see the stuff that he does in the secret. And have you seen that? You know, he may boast about it in that way. So that's the first point. What do you think God is saying about you? You know, how does he see you? Just imagine that God is boasting, bragging about you, as he does with Job here. The second thing, so let's see, what does Satan say? He's the accuser of the brethren. He accuses Job. He says, but you know, all of this, all of Job's faith, all of his fear of God, all of his worship, his obedience, all of this is fake. It's weak. It's not genuine, it's not authentic because he's just doing it because he's been blessed all his life. You take that away and he's gonna curse you. He's gonna curse you. So he accuses Job of having a weak, maybe inauthentic, not a genuine, strong, true heart of worship and fear of God. The first thing to note is it's untrue, right? Job proves Satan wrong in this case. Job proves that actually it's genuine and it's authentic and it's strong and it's real, because even when all these things are taken away, he maintains his faith. Satan is also called the father of lies, right? A lot of what he says is deception and it's lying. He's the father of lies. He's the accuser. I have two things I want to say in this portion of this text, but first is, this is what Satan says. He's accusing Job, and I want to suggest to us that that's what he does with us. Just as Father God highlights what is good and things that even maybe nobody else knows about, this is what Satan does. He accuses, and his voice is always highlighting our failures, highlighting the things that where we are weak. And also, a lot of the times, lying, right? Maybe exaggerating our weaknesses, exaggerating our brokenness, exaggerating areas of our lives where we are failing, where we are weak, and bringing that to the surface and making accusations and saying, how can you be a child of God? You know, you are a no good failure. You know, you. And he makes us focus on all these things. I remember when Pastor Benjamin came many, many years ago, and he talked about the story of Hannah, who went before God in the tabernacle praying for a son. Hannah is married to Elkanah, her husband. Elkanah had two wives, Peninnah and Hannah. Peninnah had children. Hannah couldn't bear children. And so whenever they went to this tabernacle to pray and seek the Lord, I guess they would have a feast. Well, and Elkanah, because he loved Hannah, he would give her a double portion of everything, the food, and also double portion of his love. But Peninnah, being jealous of Hannah for receiving that from Elkanah and yet having children, just would provoke her and remind her of her barrenness, remind her of her weakness. And Pastor Benjamin's message was, which table are you going to sit at? Are you going to sit at the table of Peninnah, or are you going to sit at the table of Elkanah? Right? Peninnah being the devil, accusing, highlighting our barrenness, highlighting the areas of our lives where we're barren, where we are weak, where we can't do it right, where we fail. Whereas Elkanah is saying, I don't care about that. You know, what Elkanah says to Hannah is, you know, don't. Am I not enough for you? And is my love not enough for you? I know you can't bear children right now, but I love you anyway. Like, his love for her never changes, and he's giving her a double portion of his love. And that's what God does. He says, despite your barrenness, despite your weakness, despite your failures, my love for you never changes. Whose table are you going to sit at? Whose voice are you going to listen to? Whose voice is Are you going to meditate upon, and are you going to let that determine your emotions, determine your decisions, the way you live your life? So that's the first point in this second section. The first point was how God boasts about us. In the second point, the first point of the second point is, whose table are you going to sit at? Whose voice are you going to listen to? The second thing I want to say about this is, do you ever find that you engage in this kind of talk about others? Right? Maybe when Pastor Sam or one of the leaders, or I don't know, or even maybe a celebrity pastor or whatever, when they get highlighted and when their name is lifted up, and when somebody else talks about somebody or praises somebody else, do you ever find, maybe not outright speaking out loud, but in your heart, do you find that you engage in this kind of talk? Like, ah, psh, whatever, you know? Everybody sees this about this person, but I know what he's really like. And you begin to kind of engage in this talk of accusing that person, you know, talking negatively about that person. I mean, I've seen it. I've seen it in myself. I've seen it, heard it in amongst our church members here and there. And I just think maybe when you engage in that kind of talk, you're talking like the devil. You know, when somebody is lifted up and you find in yourself a desire to bring that person down, that's what the enemy does. That's what the devil is doing. And we're kind of stepping into the role of the devil in that time, in that place. You know, I think about, where does this come from? Where does my like, it's a gut reaction, like an initial reaction when somebody else gets praised. I want to kind of lift myself up by bringing that person down. Where does that come from? I think it stems from a heart of envy. You know, I wonder if that's not the case with this, with Satan too. He's there. He's the fallen angel. You know, he wants to be the one to receive praise, right? He always wants to be the one that is honored. And when somebody else is honored, envy fills his heart, and he says, well, he accuses. Does he do this for nothing? It's all because he's only been blessed, and you haven't, he hasn't had a hard day in his life. And of course he's gonna fear you and do all these things, and he will accuse, and he wants to see that person brought down. And it comes from a place of envy. We're not certain about our own identity. We're not sitting at the table of God listening to his voice. And therefore, when somebody else is lifted up, we find in ourselves a desire to bring that person down. I want to read you. You know, Bob Sorge has a book. You know, he's coming. I mean, he's not coming, but he's speaking at our All SP conference in January. So I want to just read from his book. He has a book on envy, and he says envy is the most common problem that nobody has, meaning nobody will say that they have envy, but it's the most common problem, as in everybody has it. Nobody wants to say that they do. And he says, he says that when he flips through Christian magazines, he was flipping through a Christian magazine one day, and he kept coming across one name. This name was advertised for this event, for that cruise, for having written this book, and he's on the bestseller, and his name is right there on the top. And his name is Max Lucado. Some of you probably have heard of this author, Max Lucado. And he says, now I've never met Max Lucado, nor have I ever been in the same room with him. I could pass him on the street and never know it was him, but in his heart, he was so bugged about this guy. You know, who is this guy, Max Lucado? And he began to recognize, Holy Spirit whispered in his heart, it's envy. Suddenly, he says, suddenly I saw it. I was envious of Max Lucado. And why? Because it was his book that was the number one bestseller and not mine. And if we're honest, we probably all have these moments. For no reason, we are just bugged about someone, and in our hearts, we just make assumptions and we accuse and we, I imagine Bob in his heart is looking at Max and thinking, ah, he doesn't talk about the real truth. He doesn't talk about the deep things of God. He's just a popular author. He just writes about things that are easy to listen to. And, do we do that? Do we engage in talk like that with other people? I just, I'm convicted, and I just want to encourage us to let's not be the accuser of the brethren. We have the devil already doing that to us all the time, so he doesn't need our help in accusing somebody, in being the accuser of our sisters and brothers at church. And it would be great if we could engage in the kind of talk that God does, where he highlights the good, highlights the positive things, and says, have you seen this guy? I know you don't see this. He does it in secret, but I'm so proud of what he's okay. The antidote of envy, Ephesians 3:17 through 19, being rooted and grounded in the love of owing his love, right? 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love does not envy. If we really love the people around us, we wouldn't envy. We would celebrate when they are celebrated. We would celebrate when they are praised and lifted up, when they are recognized. We can't love until we are rooted and grounded in love, in that perfect love of God. So this morning, just want to encourage us to, Wesley's going to sing a song for us about the love of God. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And if just ask the Holy Spirit, God, do I have envy in my heart? Do I engage in this kind of talk, whether out loud with somebody, backstabbing somebody, or talking behind someone's back with this accusatory language, or just in my own heart doing that? And let's confess that to the Lord. We probably all have it. We probably all have done it, and we probably all still struggle with it. And because none of us are perfectly rooted in the love of God yet. But if we can admit it and bring them to light and confess it to the Lord, that's when we will overcome. So let's do that, and let's also receive this love of God as Wesley sings this poem.
Safe and warm. love me through and through. You see me, you know me, and you love me through and through. You see me, you know me, and you love me. You love me through and through, through and through, through and through. God, you love me. You see me, you know me, and you love me through and through. You see me, you know me, and you love me through. You see me, you know me, and you love me through and
thank you, Wesley. Thank you. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray for those that are battling cancer right now. We can pray, actually, for Ming Min. She has been, it's been a little tough for her lately. Few complications, high blood pressure, and very bad headache. She's in China to receive this treatment. So please pray for her in a very cold area, Harbin. So yeah, let's pray for Ming Min, specifically throughout. Everybody else, obviously, those that are going through chemo, radiation therapy, let's pray for them as well. Pray for God healing to be involved. Let's pray for those that are ill, but also in need of salvation. Let's pray for a supernatural healing and also salvation for our and that our church members will be able to be a witness to them. Let's pray. Let's go to the third slide. Let's pray for various infirmities that our church members are dealing with, and church members and the family members are dealing with. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for a miracle of God to come upon our friends. Let's just believe in God for supernatural. Let's go to the next slide. Pray for our friends who are looking for employment. Let's pray for God's leading and God's provision and God's direction. Let's go to our Tuesday prayer focus. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for our government. Let's just pray for wisdom for them. I know they're in a tough spot. Nobody is happy with all the decisions, right? That's, they can't, you know, please everybody. So let's pray for real wisdom and grace, strength, and with all the decision makers. Pray for Carrie Lam. Let's pray for the mercy and great strength. Our government, that they would have divine guidance. Pray for the wealth gap in Hong Kong. Let's pray that something would be done. Pray for the churches and all the different ministries. Let's pray for vision for them. Anointing power for our ministries that we support. Let's pray for the domestic helpers, the young people, the families in distress. Let's pray for the staff. Let's pray for Pastor Sam, myself, Pastor Salamat, Pastor Kenny, Pastor Mary, everybody, Tim, Juan, Ash, Ealing, Rachel, Kaden, Arnold, Ali, Lisa, Pastor Mary, she's on her break. She's actually in the U.S. with her family, coming back soon. Let's pray for a safe flight back and protection, you know. And obviously, she's quarantined, so let's just pray for covering over her. She doesn't have to go home soon. Pray for unity among the staff. Pray for anointing, for wisdom. Pray that the staff would really love God and everything that we do will Let's pray for our hospitality ministries, welcome team, and for Vista team. Even though they're on break right now, let's pray that we'll be able to do what they can to stay connected, to train up, and to still be a blessed role of welcoming and loving people. Let's pray. For the worship sound and AV team right now, because we're on the online service. Let's pray for the online worship AV team, which is the four people you see on the screen, and Kenny and Ealing, Pastor Kenny and Ealing. But also let's pray for the worship team, sound team, AV team in general, that all the members will stay connected. I really love that the heart of worship would grow in us. So let's pray. Yeah, God, thank you so much, Lord, for this day, for this morning. Thank you for your word. Help us to sit at the table of Elkanah, you know, sit at your table, hear your voice of the still small voice, the whisper of your love, God, calling us your beloved, knowing our identity in you, being rooted and grounded in your love, God. And forgive us for when we engage in using one another, whether out loud or even just in our heart, deal with issue of envy, to break that, Lord, power of envy in our hearts, God. Really practice love, Lord. Thank you. We give this day to you. In Jesus we pray. Thank you. God bless you guys. Have a great day today.